אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Hi, I'm Tom Wolf. I live in Sydney, Australia, and I'm a retired lawyer. I work in community work at the Men's Shed and also at Mark Moran Nursing Home at Walkers.
Tom, I think you've got a story to share with our listeners. You are a COVID-19 survivor.
I certainly am. I know a lot of people that are COVID survivors in that they were positive, stayed at home and isolated and have recovered. My personal story is a bit more severe than that because I didn't know I was positive. I just felt a little bit not too well. I had lost my sense of taste and also I had diarrhea, which at that time were not known to be COVID symptoms. I went to St. Vincent Hospital and came out of hospital 19 days later. And I have very little memory of 14 of those days because I was either sedated or in a coma and on a ventilator for a substantial period of time.
Do you know how you got infected?
I believe my wife, who turned out to be positive, was asymptomatic. She's one of the people that I say recovered by simply going into isolation. I strongly suspect that she picked it up in Bondi Junction, where we live, just going shopping.
When she got sick, did you know she was sick?
She didn't get sick at all. I got sick, not her. She came into the house, as she would, being married. We were very close. So all I know is that I developed, over a matter of 4 or 5 days, this loss of taste, diarrhea. I even went to the local medical center. They didn't suspect it was COVID. They actually gave me some anti-diarrhea tablets. Then on the Monday before Easter, I felt really bad. I asked my wife to ring the ambulance. They took me into hospital. They put me under sedation. At that stage, they didn't have the result of my COVID test either. That came through that night. But by that time, I was already sedated and apparently having respiratory distress. I don't remember any of it because for 14 days, as I said, I was completely out of it. All I can remember is nurses telling me that I'm doing well and giving me instructions on pulling myself up the bed so I'm not on the wrong end of the bed, and that kind of thing.
When you said you called an ambulance, you weren't feeling well. We don't call an ambulance so easily. What prompted you to call an ambulance? What were the symptoms?
I was feeling off is the best. I don't know how to describe it. I felt I didn't have any breathing problems. I've never had a cough or a sneeze or any other flu symptoms. I just felt a bit fuzzy in the head. I've got a checkered medical history. I'm actually a heart patient. I've had 2 lots of heart bypasses. I'm a diabetic. I am over 70, almost 74. I'm overweight. So all those things make me conscious that if I'm not feeling well, the first thing I do is to go to a trusted place like St. Vincent's Hospital. And that's what I did this time.
That was a very clever decision because, as you said, you didn't even cough or sneeze and you didn't even have breathing problems and you were put on a ventilator.
Yes. They tried to deal with me in the COVID ward for 3 or 4 days and I was responding quite well just to oxygen, an oxygen mask. And then suddenly, it was Good Friday, the 10th of April. I happen to know it because it also is my 44th wedding anniversary. I turned for the worse. They took me into ICU, put me on a ventilator, put me into a coma, and I was then in a coma for 5 days. And then they took me off the ventilator, which is the most dangerous part of this whole story. Most people actually die while they're being taken off the ventilator. It's a very dangerous element of COVID. And I survived that. And then another 4 or 5 days after that, still in the COVID ward, still under very severe observation. I was then moved into general COVID ward for another few days and released on Anzac Day on the 25th of April. So I was in hospital from the 6th of April to the 25th of April.
So that is quite an ordeal. And do you remember being on a ventilator or you've got no memories of it?
I have fleeting memories. The thing is that with sedation and with the induced coma, they must take you in and out of these situations, if for nothing else to see if you have a stroke or whatever, they ask you, do you know where you are, what's your name, what's your date of birth, etc., etc. I was always able to answer these, so I know I must have been with it.
All right.
I also overheard, unfortunately, a conversation between two doctors when they're about to put me on the ventilator, that my prospect of success, virtually none. They didn't realise I overheard them until I told them that if it's going to be a long and lingering death, can they please put me away now? And luckily they didn't. But after that, every time I was brought out of sedation, I would be, the nurses would be whispering in my ear, you're doing well, you're going to recover, because I kept on asking, am I dying? I didn't know whether I was going to live or die. The only other memories I have, well accepted and known medical factors, which is people in ICU have nightmares that stay with them for a very long time. And I remember the nightmares vividly. I don't remember very much else. And look, Mitzvah, the thing is this. People ask me, did I suffer? And my answer is, the only thing I could feel that was ever in pain was when they were giving me my insulin shots, because they also gave it in, always gave it in the same spot instead of all over my body, below my tummy. It got to be very painful. I wasn't the one that was hurting. I didn't realize it at the time how much my family, who were not in hospital with me, who didn't have a chance to say goodbye to me, even though they were also told, as I was, that my chances of recovery were very small, and who were waiting constantly for telephone calls from the hospital to tell them that I'd passed away. You can imagine what experience my wife and three sons went through in this way. And because we've got a huge social network of friends and acquaintances, they're all, everybody's inquiring about my welfare. They're making phone calls. And every time the telephone rang, my wife and my kids were thinking at first, until they saw the phone number, that it might have been the hospital. Now, they died 1,000 deaths. I'm so consciously guilty, even though I had nothing to do with this, about them suffering in this way. That is something that still haunts me.
We are talking to Tom Wolfe. Tom is the COVID-19 survivor, as you heard. And you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Tom, we are almost 2.5 months later, almost 3 months after you've been released from hospital. Any repercussions?
I believe I'm one of the lucky ones. I've heard of others that have gone through hospitalisation, have ongoing problems. I don't feel any worse now than I did before I contracted COVID. That doesn't mean that I don't have deficits. The doctors are still looking at various things, blood clots through various parts of my body, including my brain, possible lung issues, certainly blood issues. Still going to St Vincent's Hospital for ongoing investigations.
Tom Wolfe, I hope that you won't suffer anymore from COVID-19 and it's all over and done and gone and won't have long-term repercussions on your health. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nitza.
And be well.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.